doing the whole 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football. It is Tuesday, September 26th. My name is Daniel Dopp. I am joined by Stefania Bell and Field Yates. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Guys, it is great to be here with you today, Stefania. How are you doing on this Tuesday?
I'm here.
You're here? All right.
Wow, she's here. Confirmed here. That's the question. Yeah, we get some round of applause. You know, like, when you have a friend over and maybe he's dating somebody new, he or she's dating somebody new, and that person's kind of a drag. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I guess I kind of have to invite that person to come along with.
Yes.
When you're like, hey, I'm here with Stefania Bell
and Field Yates.
I'm the drag.
I wouldn't call you a drag, Field. No, I would not say
but
that.
There could be better options is all I'm saying.
No,
I mean. Admit it. You don't have to be that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Field is.
If you're fishing for compliments, a little bit of
good job. Yeah,
yeah, that was good.
No, like on a 1 to 10 scale, assuming the 1 through 8 are eliminated, how cool am I? Just how about that?
Yeah, you're probably like a 9. Yeah. Probably like, yeah, that's what I would say. That's
8.5.
Oh, there's so much Field. I love being able to do this show with you as well. It's so great being here with all you guys. We love being able to do this, honestly.
There we go.
Today's show is going to be a ton of fun. We are talking about Monday Night Football recaps.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
We got a waiver wire. We got an injury recap. We're going to dive into a bunch of different names we're going to talk about. But first and foremost, I want to say one thing.
Okay.
I want to say shout out to Stefania Bell, because this week in week 4, heading into week 4, she is currently 121st in the Scott Fishbowl League.
Is that right? Let's go.
Well, thank you. But I think you buried the lead.
I also want to say shout out to Field Yates, who is currently
in the top 100.
92nd in Scott Fishbowl now.
I mean, I absolutely laid waste to my opponent this past weekend. He was talking on Twitter, too, so I had to make sure that I put him in his proper spot there.
That's right.
But I did not realize I was 92nd. That's
most importantly,
top
100.
Though.
Wow.
My buddy, JB Brubaker.
Yeah.
Now current ESPNer. We definitely claim him. 15th.
Is that right?
In Scott Fishbowl.
That is impressive.
Shout out JB. That's why we brought you into the Fantasy Focus Show League. So
that is impressive.
It's been a ton of fun.
Just don't play me in the show league please.
That's right.
Save that for the Scott Fishbowl.
We are going to get into a Monday Night Football recap. I know, Phil, congratulations, man.
I know.
That's pretty good.
I'm
top 100.
That, but we'll take
look
it.
At that. He's
right.
Like, got to go check him. Daniel just called you boring, and you think he's going to give you a compliment like that?
I mean, I was like, there's no way. I felt like I checked this recently, and my team is solid. But there's 2,475 people in there. I have no idea how my solid team stacks up.
A couple people vaulted this week. Because
that's right.
Let's admit it. There were 50 points.
A couple of big performances.
Different people who might not have been in other people's lineups. I'm just saying.
You know who else had a big performance this week? I'm going to say this really quickly, and then we're going to move on to talk about Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, baby.
Still had a big week. And I want to mention this. If you want to, we have a tweet that we can throw up. If you look at everything that happened for Travis Kelce this week, it has been an unbelievable week for him.
Okay.
Dude had 7 catches.
Yep.
Dude had 69 yards and a touchdown. He gained 300,000 social media followers, a 400% increase in merch sales, and now a top 5 selling jersey in the NFL. That is the Taylor Swift effect.
What can be given can also be taken away.
You know what? You're not wrong.
Better behave, Travis Kelce.
I do want to say this, though. I want to have some fun with this. Stefania, we talk about, and Matthew championed this, and I know Field, Stefania, we all talk about this.
Yeah.
It's all about, I love being able to add new people to the game of fantasy football.
Totally.
And this is like a legit organic opportunity where your wives or your husbands or your kids or your spouses organically want to care about something that has to do with fantasy football. So encourage that. Empower that.
Yeah.
Don't poo-poo it and be like, I'm over this Taylor Swift stuff.
No.
This is a cool moment.
Yep. Yeah.
Honestly, embrace this, because this is an awesome thing potentially for fantasy and helping to encourage younger, new people that don't play this game to be able to get into the stuff that we love.
Dip your toe in the pool, the
absolutely.
Water's warm.
Do you think Taylor plays fantasy football?
She's about to. I'm going to invite her to the Crappy Bands League. Sorry for whoever I got to kick out. Sorry, guys.
I mean, I think like she's
that person would be so honored. Be like, so you're kicking me out of the league to replace me with Taylor Swift? Like, can I open for her for, like, not even a show? Like, can I play a chord at one of her concerts?
That would be incredible.
That would be amazing, that'd right?
That'd be so cool.
You know how we talked about the who wore it better last week, and then we can move on. But who do you think wore Arrowhead better? Taylor Swift during her tour or Travis Kelce on Sunday?
Ooh.
But he still has to count for it because of Taylor Swift.
Because Taylor was still there. I think Taylor gets the nudge.
If they were ever to award a lifetime achievement, it would go to Travis, right? Because he's been there for so long and so dominant for such a long period of time. Yeah. But Taylor, in like an isolated moment, you got to figure
out.
She
might get lifetime achievement. I mean, she's been doing this since she was a
tweener. Arrowhead specifically, I'm saying.
Oh,
right. Because
okay.
she was there for 3 days. He's been doing this for 10 years in Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, given
but those 3 days
we'll
were pretty freaking sweet.
Yep. Yes, they were.
All right, let's
Says
talk.
The guy who did not go to the
didn't
concert.
Didn't get to see him. I'll tell you what, I definitely want to go see a concert now.
You got two girls, you have an opportunity.
Oh, we listened to some T-Swift. Yeah. That's right. That's for sure.
All right, let's dive into Monday Night Football. There were two big games. Rams at Bengals is where we are going to start with this one. And there was one obvious huge storyline that we were talking about, and it is Joe Burrow playing this game. I was really surprised to be able to see him out there. Stefania, my dumb fan NFL eyes saw Joe Burrow not look like himself. Mobility looked like it was an issue. He definitely wasn't the Joe Burrow that we've seen. For you, as someone that has actually rehabbed athletes before, when you saw Joe out there on the field, what did you take away from this performance?
Well, it's interesting, Daniel. I posted this on Twitter before the game of the things I would be looking for, because these would be the concerns for somebody who clearly was not 100%. No one tried to hide that. Otherwise, the decision wouldn't come down to game time. It was going to be, how well does he move in and around and outside the pocket? How does he do after explosive movements? You know, that's when he aggravated the calf before, was he tried to push off and there was a setback. And then how does he look as fatigue sets in? It's one thing to get through practice and look good, but it's another thing to get through four quarters of football. So if you break those all down, we didn't really see him move a lot. You know, he was able to function. He was serviceable in around the pocket. There was one time late in the game where he had to run away. He kind of pulled off, I think it was 7 or 8 steps. And that's when everybody, I think the collective breath holding from Bengals fans and the sideline, because it just looked uncomfortable to him. And that also accounted for that was late in the game.
Yep.
So again, the fatigue and the trying to move quickly, those were problematic. They obviously tried to structure the game around the limitations they anticipated for him. But most importantly, he got through it. Those were literally his words with Laura Rutledge.
At
the sideline was like, we got through this. I think it was a team effort. We got through this. And she specifically asked him, so there were no setbacks during the game. And he said, no setbacks. So for people who think, okay, well, he got through it. We're over the hump. Not necessarily. This is going to be something they have to manage for weeks on end. But every week they get through is one more week removed from the injury, as long as there's no setback in between. Can he get healthy during the season? Yes, but it's a tall task. But you also, if you saw, he was also using something on the sideline.
I did see that,
So this is a, it's called a Venom Heat and massage units made by Hyper Ice, and it's basically there to give you massage locally in the calf and provide a heating element. So when he was sitting down, there was treatment ongoing. So just understand he's not at 100%. And the question becomes, I think, weekly in terms of what you can expect. And we're just going to have to see how he evolves from week to week.
So last week we were talking about how Deshaun Watson had not really come around as a passer. But if he does, that could really catapult his fantasy value into being a weekly top 10 fixture. He got the Titans that next week, and he looked much, much better. That might be the saving grace for Joe Burrow, because if you asked me after last night how I'm feeling, the obvious answer is I'm still very concerned. Let's talk about some of the things that are negative indicators for Joe Burrow so far this season, and some of the things that I don't think will change.
Yep.
He's got a long rush of 5 yards this season. He has a total of 3 rushing yards so far.
Yeah, 5 might be his long at the end of the year.
Yes, it might be. So he's got 3 rushing yards so far this season. It's not that Joe Burrow is anywhere close to Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields, but last year he had over 250 rushing yards. And for his career, he's got 10 rushing touchdowns in 3 seasons, of course, missing part of his rookie year because of that torn ACL.
Yep.
Given the fact that he's dealing with a lower body injury, that calf specifically, if the Bengals have a first and goal from the 1 yard line, they might be one of the few teams that is not going to go to the tush push right now, which can be hidden value for a quarterback. It's not hidden for Jalen Hurts, and we'll talk about it in a minute. It's just there, right? So I'm concerned about the fact that part of what made Joe Burrow elite in fantasy was not just the throwing upside, but enough rushing upside to catapult him over other only throwing quarterbacks.
Right.
That part not there anymore. More importantly is that because of the calf injury and because of the offensive line play, which last night I thought was not particularly great, the explosive plays are just not there right now. And maybe part of that is because they're not as inclined to have him pushing off, you know, so forcefully off the calf, which is what it's going to require when you're throwing the football down the field. This is a guy who averaged last year 7.4 yards per attempt 8.9 the year before. He's at 4.7 right now. And as we saw last night, Ja'Marr Chase went off.
Yes.
If I told you, though, that Ja'Marr Chase was going to have 12 catches, how many yards would you expect for Ja'Marr Chase?
12 catches, I would expect at least 150 yards.
Right. You're thinking to yourself, like, oh, this is Ja'Marr Chase, right? He had 141. Now, it's a great effort from Ja'Marr Chase. We love all of that, right? But he's down to 9.6 yards per catch so far this season. Wow. That's down from 12 last year and then 18 as a rookie when he had just this freakazoid season. Fine with Ja'Marr Chase. But specific to Joe Burrow, the upside is just going to be much harder for him to achieve because the vertical passing game is not nearly as involved so far this year, and he's not going to get those yards as a runner, and I don't think rushing touchdowns are going to be easy for him to come by. If he balls out against the Titans this week, because the Titans are just a dreadful passing defense, part of me wonders if there is a conversation about a potential move off of Joe Burrow from your quarterback, because he certainly isn't the reason why you've had success so far this year.
Yeah. Absolutely. I still feel like I'm at the point where obviously you would have rather start almost any quarterback last night rather than Joe Burrow. Hopefully you made one of the pivots that we talked about in FF Now, either going to a Jared Goff or even honestly, Matt Stafford would have been better for you than Joe Burrow last night. So that's a hard part because I appreciate that he is going to keep the Ja'Marr Chase volume up. It feels like that buy low window on Ja'Marr Chase has closed at least for now.
Yeah,
because even if Burrow is limited, if he can get Ja'Marr Chase this kind of volume, that's what I need to see from him in this offense. I can find another quarterback.
This is absurd. I'm looking at this right now. Joe Burrow has scored fewer fantasy points than Anthony Richardson, who's played a game and a quarter so far this year. He scored fewer fantasy points than Desmond Ridder, fewer fantasy points than Kenny Pickett.
What about Joshua
Justin
Dobbs?
Fields, Joshua Dobbs, Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield. These are all quarterbacks that are they're above Joe Burrow so far this year. So my biggest takeaway is that, like, I am still concerned going forward. Tennessee might be that get right game because of the matchup, but this is a situation that I think bears very close monitoring going forward. And if you have Joe Burrow as your quarterback, you might be 1-2 right now.
I was just looking at their schedule too. When does the bye come into play? So you get a bye in week 7, which again, 1 week is not going to it's not going to solve the issue for him. Sure. But if he gets through week 4, 5, 6, and we assume that he's making progress, he gets a nice break at week 7, he's going to need it because look who he comes against next. San Francisco 49ers.
Don't love it.
Buffalo Bills.
Ugh, don't love
it. Know, then Houston, then Baltimore, then Pittsburgh. Like, he's going to have some challenges. He's going to need to be able to move better and get rid of the ball more quickly and get the ball downfield as he gets rid of it more quickly. Yep. That's what's going to have to happen to make that valuable. I might be looking.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about these Rams. Puka Nacua finally came back to earth
It's like, just to put some perspective on how incredibly ridiculous he was in the first 2 weeks of the season, people are like, oh man, I only got 12.2 fantasy points, 5 catches for 72 yards on the guy who has more catches than any other player in the first 3 games of his career in NFL history.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about Puka. Mike Clay, big shout out to him, did talk about how this Bengals pass defense was stingier in terms of limiting opposing wide receivers. The 49ers are better defense, to be clear, right? But the Bengals, specific to fantasy so far, had been a little stingier in terms of holding opposing wide receivers down. So good call by Mike. Puka, still a top 10 fantasy wide receiver for me in week 4. We'll see if Cooper Kupp is back in week 5, at which point I do think the Nacua value conversation comes into play. But until Kupp returns, he's a lineup lock for me.
Field, we've been getting questions in our YouTube chat. After this game, do you think Puka is a trade target now at this point? Which is tough for me because I don't know why you're going to trade him.
Trading him away.
I think so, yeah, at this point. Because if you're going to try to move him, is it because you think Cooper Kupp is going to come back and now that volume is going to come down and this might be more indicative of the Puka Nacua?
I'm not going to put Stefania on the spot, ask her about Cooper, because there's been no update and Sean McVay has been extremely transparent. He did say recently, hey, we hope he's available for week 5, but I wouldn't read into that as that they expect him to be there or expect him to not be there in week 5. I just think there's too much variable with Cooper Kupp's recovery to move off from Puka Nacua, who's a real freaking player for them. This is not a guy who's just been thrust into a role that just, like, you could put me out there and you'd score 15 fantasy points a game. He's the real deal. I would not be looking to trade away Puka Nacua right now because I think even if Cooper Kupp does return in week 5, and we'd love that, Puka, like Robert Woods has been a thing. Odell Beckham Jr. has been a thing opposite of Cooper Kupp.
Yes, they have.
In that Rams offense.
All right, let's talk about Kyren Williams. A little disappointing as far as the output today. yesterday, but he's still got a ton of touches. 10 carries, 7 targets in the passing game. When we're talking about Kyren Williams being a guy that we're going to start week in and week out, it's because of the volume that he gets, and it's not just his rushing volume, it's that passing game volume field, and that continued, even though it was a low production output for him.
I'm trying to get the exact number of stats last night for Kyren Williams. 100% of the snaps, guys.
That's what it is.
Do you understand this? Yeah. Like, you're telling me that if I have a running back play every single snap, is that player going to be useful in fantasy? Yes.
Yes.
7 targets. So of the Rams, 55 snaps last night. 55, okay? Do the math. He accounted for 25 plus, for more than 25% of the opportunities last night. Like,
that's
30%
incredible.
Of the opportunities went to Kyren Williams. I was just saying that, like, Puka Nacua is a real player. His production is not simply a byproduct of being thrust into this role, right? I think Kyren Williams is a good player, but less of a player than Puka Nacua is, right? This is a role that is just so freaking valuable right now because the Rams have the thinnest running back room behind Kyren Williams in the entire league. That I get it. You're going to have some dud games, relative dud games like last night, but I remain optimistic about the role for Kyren Williams unless the Rams make a trade for somebody or sign Leonard Fournette or something off the street, which I'd be surprised by all of that. I'm going to continue to have Kyren Williams ranked extremely high in my running back rankings every single week. I mean, think about some of the players. Bijan Robinson is playing like 55% of the snaps right now. Obviously, he's way more talented and a big-time threat in the passing game, but like, we're finding value in running backs who are playing like 60, 65, 70% of the snaps. He's playing basically every snap.
All of them.
That is incredible for a running back.
And I think the fact he was targeted as much as he was, like there were some off-target passes for because Stafford was under duress, et cetera. But
he needs an offensive line.
So what I'm saying is like he's clearly going to be involved in both aspects of the game. They're not just looking for him to run the ball, and I don't think that goes away.
All right, let's talk Eagles at Bucks Field. There were a couple guys that I had talked about yesterday that I had some question marks on. For me, the Eagles wide receivers. I wanted to know, does the squeaky wheel
you call this
get
one,
a little
Daniel.
Bit of volume
call
here?
Call by you. Yeah.
Absolutely. A.J. Brown, 9 catches, 131 yards, but most importantly, 14 targets.
And this could have been even better.
It should have been better.
A couple of touchdown opportunities that went through the wickets last night.
Yeah.
But the first two plays through the air last night were shots down the field to A.J. Brown.
Yep.
So apparently whatever happened the prior Thursday night is now effectively water under the bridge. The reality with these Eagles wide receivers is that by the end of the year, I think both of them are going to have very favorable stat lines, but they are going to be prone on occasion to what happened to Devontae Smith last night, which is played at, what was it like?
He was, you know, to be fair, like I kind of saw that you could have seen the A.J. Brown thing coming because Devontae Smith was also nursing quad and hamstring issues. And while neither of them seem severe, I mean, he was out there practicing every day.
Yeah.
It's still something where maybe you're not going to stretch him down the field a ton.
I mean, he played every snap but one last night.
What?
Devontae played every snap but one last
night. He did.
So like,
but still, I mean, it's different to be on the field and it's different to be the primary guy.
Only 5 targets last night, which I wanted to see more from.
Yeah, more targets would be great. But like, again, at the end of the year, I think you're going to look back at both of these guys' stat lines and be like, wow, monster seasons for both of them again. You're just going to have a couple of these games. This is 2 out of 3 for Devontae Smith where it hasn't been major output.
That's not totally true, is it? Devontae Smith that he had 17 fantasy points week one. And
is
then
that what it was?
Yeah, okay, 17-1 and 23 week two. So, but they are going to have both back and forth games. There will also be some games where they're both going to go off.
Yeah.
Like that's how it works with these Eagles wide receivers.
When we finish this game, let me get back to T. Higgins for a second, because I think people are probably wondering about him in a similar vein. But
let's talk about
the biggest takeaway though for the Eagles last night
is the running back.
Running back. Yeah. So
DeAndre Swift.
So he played 7 more snaps than Kenneth Gainwell. But what we asked coming into the game was, hey, if either of them gets a certain number of opportunities, who's the way more explosive player? And it's obviously DeAndre Swift, right? And what did he do last night? Another monster effort, as he had a total of 130 rushing yards last night on 16 carries. Only 1 catch for DeAndre Swift, but if he's going to continue to run the ball as much as he has over the past 2 weeks behind that offensive line, you have found yourself, I don't know about found, because you probably drafted him way higher than you felt good about after week one when he barely played, but you have found a very, very valuable running back right now who I think the good part is it's down to 2. It's DeAndre Swift, it's Kenneth Gainwell. Those are the only 2 that matter right now, right? And moreover, you know that DeAndre Swift's the most talented guy here. He is a top 20 running back play because of just how much volume he's getting. behind that offensive line, and the fact that, sorry, Daniel, but like this dude can freaking ball. Huh?
Yeah, he can. You don't need to apologize to me. I've watched him ball in Detroit. He looks fantastic. I am disappointed, though. I'm just going to be that emotional fantasy manager. You can tell me it's not fair. This is so weird to watch him become Alvin Kamara right now. Just not get any passing game usage. The thing that he is so good at, get him the ball in space. Let him use his pass catching ability. And I understand the Eagles don't need to let him do that because he's got like 9.8 yards before contact.
Right. Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, he's such a good runner right now. Like I'd have more of an issue with it if we were getting Alvin Kamara rushing production
where it's fair.
He had 16 carries for 54 yards, right? You're like, that would frustrate me, right? Because you know he's so good as a pass catcher. It's hard for me to take them to task when he continues to run for, like you said, 9 yards per carry or whatever it was last night.
I thought you were going somewhere different with that, being frustrated as a Lions fan.
No, I love DeAndre Swift. I want to be excited about all my former Detroit Lions that go elsewhere and have success.
Look what you...
Let's talk about these Buccaneers wide receivers. This was the other question that I had.
Yeah.
Mike Evans has been the guy for Baker Mayfield through two games. And the question was, is Chris Godwin going to get some more run here? Got to be honest, he didn't really get more run. Five targets. And I understand Mike Evans kind of gets bailed out by getting that touchdown at the end of the game. But he had 10 targets from Baker Mayfield. We are not seeing the same kind of volume, Stefania, for Chris Godwin that we thought we were going to see living in the slot. So at this point, what are you doing with Chris Godwin?
Well, I'm not getting rid of him yet, but I do think Baker Mayfield's locked in on Mike Evans. That is his main guy. That is his go-to guy. And let's just think about what we thought about Mike Evans at the start of the season. I think I got him in leagues. Like, I'm trying to remember what round I drafted him in.
Mike Evans. Oh, yeah. Late.
Evans was written off for this season, partially because of quarterback, partially because people didn't know what the situation was. He was unhappy with Tampa Bay. And now all of a sudden, he's clearly the number one choice for Baker Mayfield. Chris Godwin's still a talented guy. You obviously saw, if you saw him last night, he had one fantastic catch. But I don't know. I think Baker tends to lock in. That's what we've seen in the past. So,
and now that we've seen that field through 3 weeks, like Mike Evans feels like a really great start for me in my starting lineup. Totally. Chris Godwin feels quite a bit more precarious at this point.
No doubt. This will be one where I hate to rely on this phrase that often, but this one feels like, I'm not saying this as like the human or the player he's been, but purely from a fantasy perspective, he's going to have to kind of earn his way back into my lineup if you're Chris Godwin, right? Like, I don't feel great about starting Chris Godwin in week 4 right now. They're playing the Saints. It's not even about the matchup, even though the Saints do have a good pass defense. But it's like, you really want to play Chris Godwin with the modest production, both in terms of catches, yards, and targets? Like, right now, if you're playing a Bucs receiver, it's clearly Mike Evans. We'll talk more with Mike about the wide receiver cornerback matchup with Marshawn Lattimore. But yeah, it's been a very pedestrian start so far for Chris Godwin, a player that I think still must be held. But,
yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not getting rid of him, but I'm not putting him in my starting lineup.
We have one more guy from this game to talk about. Rashad White didn't get a ton of run.
I don't think there's much to talk about here.
Yeah. He got volume. Did the situation change at all from what we've seen either the first 2 weeks?
No, this is kind of like with Kyren Williams.
Still his show.
Almost every single snap.
Yep.
He's getting 17 opportunities. You're going to have
Tucker's
to live
not
with.
There.
Yeah, he's not going to catch a zillion passes, but you know his three receptions last night. They're not a very good run blocking offensive line at the interior.
So the
totally
Eagles,
fine with Rashad White.
The Eagles are a pretty good defense, by the way.
Excellent defense.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to T. Higgins because you had mentioned him as someone that we should be talking about.
Yes. Okay. So what do you do? Because he's had 2 out of 3 dud games, 0 in week 1, and then last night just a complete non-factor as well relative to your expectations. Part of this is the passing offense right now, right? Like, it is just super inefficient. Joe Burrow, an absolute assassin, completing like 50% of his passes last night, 26 of 49.
Is it possible he would have completed like 65% if T. Higgins had dropped all the passes that
he had some drops.
He had an off night. Yeah. Like, that was just not
It was not the T. Higgins that we expect. So I do want to put some of that on. Like, last night was just looked like a tough one for him.
It was a tough night for T. Higgins. He had a total of 8 targets. You'll take that. So this is 2 games this season in which he's had 8 targets and he's turned it into a total of 2 catches, 2 for 21. But look at, so that's what you have to keep the faith in here. If you have T. Higgins, if I told you through 3 games, here was his target total, 8, 12, and 8, you'd say,
oh my gosh, that's
right.
Awesome.
He probably have about, 3-4 touchdowns, a few hundred yards by then. No, he's turned those 28 targets into 10 catches for 110 yards. He did have the big game in week 2, but hold steady with T. Higgins. I know it's frustrating, but a guy that talented getting that kind of target share must not be ignored. And the Bengals, by the way, There was a time last night, and I got to go back and check the final tally. There was a point last night where the Bengals had thrown the ball 20 times and had run the ball just 5 times. The final numbers, 49 passing attempts to 23 rushing attempts.
49.
Both of these teams barely ran the football last night, but the Bengals continue to be one of the pass-heaviest teams in the NFL. Should bode well for a T. Higgins bounce back.
Are you talking about a buy low then on T. Higgins? You're telling, obviously, managers don't sell, but you go out and try.
No doubt. I would do my best to get myself some T. Higgins because you know he's going to have some balloon weeks during the season.
All right. Let's move ahead and talk about the injury reports. Stefania here for week 4, getting everybody ready for waiver wire. Derek Carr went down with a sprained right AC joint. Sounds like he's going to be week to week. What else do we know about him?
So if you were watching the game, this was one of the classic quarterback shoulder injury mechanisms. Quarterback gets driven into the turf. One of 3 things happens. It's either a concussion, or it's an AC sprain, or it's a clavicle fracture. So AC joint is the point of the shoulder. You have ligaments there. It's also what you hear called a separated shoulder if there's enough ligament damage, because those 2 bones will move apart. And so if you hear the casual term separated shoulder, it's sort of interchangeable. It looked bad when it happened. We heard reports of Derek Carr even going to the hospital for further evaluation. And then later, Dennis Allen says it ends up being not as severe as what they once thought. So a big sigh of relief for everyone, including Derek Carr, I'm sure. Still a very painful injury, and to his throwing shoulder. So it's not just a question of, is he at pain at rest? It's, can he go through the arc of motion and throw the ball? We know that Derek Carr likes to throw the ball downfield. That is really tough to do within a few days after this injury. He is being called week to week. Adam Schefter reporting it's unlikely that they plan on using him, that they'll probably go to Jameis Winston the first week, but he could be back as soon as the week after. This is very much a day-to-day evaluation. People wondering, you know, are they at big risk for further injury by putting him back? This is not like the Joe Burrow situation. If you can play through it, you play through it. And I thought it was really interesting. Mike Triplett, our former colleague, yep, who now is at NewOrleans.football, wrote a piece after they talked to Drew Brees, who had this same injury back in 2014. And so you love to hear from somebody who played the same position, yeah, who had the same injury. And he said, you know, it was one of the only times in his career that he literally did not practice until it was time to play in the game, because everything is about keeping that arm resting and not putting it through that strain of going through that arc of motion. Had an injection, was able to play. And I think his first game back, he put up like some ridiculous thing, like 5 touchdowns. I got the stats somewhere. It doesn't matter. He had a great game back. So that should be very encouraging for those who roster Derek Carr, that he should be able to come back and be himself. Might not be this week, might be until the week after. But if all goes well, should be fairly soon.
Field, I'm still starting Chris Olave without any hesitation, even if Jameis Winston is under center. The only conversation for me is Michael Thomas still a flex consideration for me? And
I feel pretty similar about the Saints offense with Jameis Winston as I did with Derek Carr. Like a nominal upgrade, of course, with Derek Carr. That was the reason why they made the pursuit of him, but doesn't really move the needle that dramatically for fantasy purposes.
The nice thing about Jameis is it's not like he's going to come in and all of a sudden they're going to limit the offense. He's going to throw the ball.
He will
throw the ball a bunch. Yeah. And you know what? As a manager of the wide receivers, you don't care about the interceptions that Jameis potentially throws.
The person
throws.
Who it might impact the most is Alvin Kamara. As we saw in the past couple of years with Jameis as the starter, they did not lean nearly as much on Alvin Kamara as the pass catcher, which you'd love to see a whole lot more of that, especially with Derek Carr once he's back under center.
Absolutely. All right, Stefania, let's also talk about Mike Williams. Unfortunately, has gone to the IR. What can you tell us about him?
Another one that makes you sad. In the third quarter, catching a pass went down. You saw his leg bobble.
Yeah.
And just had that feel, that classic feel of an ACL injury. Confirmed on Monday that Mike Williams tore his left ACL. Adam Schefter reporting that he's expected to be ready for training camp. This is often what we think when guys are injured early. If you're looking for a silver lining, it's that 9 to 12 month optimum return time following an ACL injury. And so that hits right about the time of the start of training camp. Also important to remember, until the athlete gets through surgery and we find out whether there were other structures involved or whether it was an isolated ACL tear, that can make a difference. And then everybody has their own recovery pathway. So you hope for a very smooth recovery for Mike Williams. And at least right now, there's optimism that he could be back when training camp begins. Tough for him because he's certainly dealt with his share of injuries and so talented when he's on the field.
Super talented. Mike Williams, 28, turning 29 years old. So I would love to be able to see Mike Williams back and look good next year. We're going to talk about this, the rest of this offense field, once we get to the waiver wire section, because with Mike Williams out, that's where we're going
to
go with
a lot to get into,
one of those wide receivers. Stefania, couple more injuries here. Thursday night football, short week. The Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers both have a couple of guys. Just talk to us about this game.
Yeah, we don't like Thursday night football when you have key fantasy players who are questionable coming in. And that's what we're dealing with both sides of the ball. David Montgomery for the Lions has a thigh contusion that kept him out last week. Now, a lot of these teams will just do projected practice reports. And so Monday was an estimated practice report, both for the Lions and for the Packers. David Montgomery listed as limited. Now, he said that he felt like he'd be able to play and he would want to be out there if he could be. But still, day to day, we'll see. I mean, it's a soft tissue injury and Lions have to decide how comfortable they are with where he is. Tuesday, typically a bigger practice day for teams that play on Thursday, so stay tuned for that.
Yep.
On the other side, for the Packers, Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, everybody knows we've hamstring injury for both of them. And at the end of last week, it looked a little more promising for Christian Watson. I think we thought he'd be active and then he was not. And so the conversation we had on Fantasy Football Now was, well, maybe with the Thursday game in mind, they're just being particularly conservative. Interestingly, Christian Watson listed as a non-participant in the estimated practice report for Monday. Now, what we don't know is, because last week, Christian Watson had a scheduled off day. Was this a planned would-be off day had they really practiced? Don't know. But here's what we do know. Tuesday is the biggest practice day for the Packers coming into Thursday. So I think how they land Aaron Jones and Christian Watson on the report today will tell us a lot more. Everybody in Green Bay really just kind of shaking their heads, not sure what their status is going to be.
I'm not going to put you on the spot for this, Stefania. Not really for us to talk about. I really need Damian Woody here for this, but both of these teams are without a very impressive starting offensive lineman. The Lions been playing without Taylor Decker, and the Packers been playing without David Bakhtiari. It would be big for both of those running backs, Aaron Jones and David Montgomery, if they could get their entire offensive line back and feeling healthy. So something we'll keep watching as we get a little closer to Thursday night football. We got a couple of guys in the concussion protocol too, as well. Stefania, Jimmy G and Gus Edwards, both. Any updates on either of the guys?
Yeah, both of these are strange. Again, it's the reason why these are not identical. Jimmy Garoppolo, we saw, I mean, people have replayed, there was a helmet-to-helmet apparent contact he had with Minkah Fitzpatrick in the second half, and people wondering if that was the event. Who is to know? But at the end of the game, he was being evaluated for concussion-like symptoms and then was placed in the concussion protocol. So again, criterion-based, not time-based. We wait and see. Gus Edwards, this one's a little more bizarre to me because he left the game to be evaluated for a concussion, did not return. Sounds like Gus Edwards wanted to come back into the game, but did not. Now, on Monday, Coach John Harbaugh would only say that he was still being evaluated. So it was unclear to everyone whether Gus Edwards is technically in the concussion protocol or whether he's still going through some evaluation process.
Okay.
This matters a great deal because they are super, super thin at running back. The Ravens are, because Justice Hill is dealing with a toe injury, Keaton Mitchell, a shoulder injury on IR, and J.K. Dobbins we know is gone. So they're only running backs right now that are available to them are practice squad players Melvin Gordon, Kenyon Drake, and Owen Wright.
We're in week four for the Ravens. They're starting Melvin Gordon and Kenyon Drake. I'm waiting for them to add Frank Gore to their roster.
And by the way, Melvin looked pretty good this past week. Shout out Melvin Gordon. Yeah. I will just say this. When Adam Schefter adds a player randomly in the War Room League, I immediately go and try to add that player in every league other that league. I'm in. I know that I play in leagues with people that listen to this show. Uh-oh. So I sort of regret saying this, but I'm trying to service the people, the larger audience.
After you went and added him in your leagues.
Well, no, with waivers tonight. I haven't added him yet.
Keaton I thought you Mitchell claimed him free.
Was added by Shefty recently.
Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah. Who is, coming as Stefania mentioned, coming off IR, but he has one more game he has to miss. But sounds like there was some buzz about Keaton Mitchell during the preseason. So if you have a flexible bench spot, maybe go and add yourself some Keaton Mitchell, and then don't thank me if it works out. Thank Shefty.
I would also, so just to put a bow on this situation with Gus Edwards, it's not clear if he is formally in a concussion protocol, or if they were doing an extended evaluation to determine if he was cleared of any concussion symptoms, like in other words, that he never really had one and comes back. So we'll see. Tuesday, big day for this.
Big day.
All right. We got a couple of quick IR reminders here. Deontay Johnson on IR. We're going to talk about some of the Pittsburgh pass catchers in the waiver wire segment. Jamal Williams.
2 more weeks.
Obviously getting.
3 more weeks for him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting, why am I blanking? Alvin Kamara back this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So that's going to be a big one.
Jamal Williams eligible to return after 4 games. So that will be week 7 because of when he went on. And Deontay Johnson with the hamstring, he would be eligible to come back in week 6, but they have a bye.
Yes,
so he
do.
Too comes back in week 7.
All right. We are going to dive into the waiver wire after this. But first, Field Yates, if I need a little bit of help getting some insurance, who should I talk to?
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
That's what I need.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you can save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Have you ever dreamed of hitting the road in your very own customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter?
I have.
I sure have. Yep. Following college football all season long, hitting all the biggest games in college football's most celebrated stadiums, at ESPN, we dreamed that dream, and with the help of Mercedes-Benz, we made it happen. This year, our very own Jen Latta has teamed with Mercedes-Benz designers to create a road-ready, fully functional, state-of-the-art podcast studio on wheels. The ride is pure Mercedes-Benz with all-wheel drive and the latest driver assistance, safety, and tech. The podcast studio must be seen and heard to be believed. A spacious and chill conversation space with mics, camera, and a mixing board to capture the action. On board, Jen Latta will be interviewing some of the biggest names in college football. And points to Mercedes-Benz for always bringing some extra. Out back of the Sprinter, they're innovating, pushing the science of the tailgate, complete with grill, cooler, TV monitors, and more. This is hashtag van life meets the fan life. To get an inside look how this one-of-a-kind, blow-your-mind collaboration came together, visit mbvans.com/sprinterlabs. The Mercedes-Benz ESPN College Football Podcast Sprinter, coming soon to a game near you.
Gosh, that was an A-plus read, Stefania.
It really was. I'm going to give myself an A-plus read.
Hey, college football fans, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that will help you guys win game days this season. Eckrich smoked sausage. You're probably asking yourself, Daniel, can it really be that easy? Absolutely it is. Eckrich smoked sausage is crafted with a perfect medley of spices for a truly rich, savory taste. They're delicious all by themselves or in any recipe that you can dream up. And if the word recipe sounds like a lot of work, do not worry. Visit Eckrich.com for dozens of simple, mouth-watering recipes making your tailgate a stress-free event. So there you go. Eckrich smoked sausage is the secret to winning game days. You can thank me later. Visit Eckrich.com for more.
Point out that if I'm asking myself a question, I'm not saying Daniel.
Oh, you're not saying that? Well, I was talking in the fans, just, you know, it's like, hey, that's a thing. I guess I should have said Stefania.
I have a confession before we get into waivers, and it's completely unrelated to what you guys just talked about, not related to the waiver wire, not related to those live reads right there.
Is it why Folklore is your favorite Taylor Swift album?
It's actually not my favorite Taylor Swift album.
It's not.
It is not,
okay.
No.
All right.
I like it, but I like the more upbeat. Okay. Taylor Swift stuff.
That's fine.
I can't believe there's a Taylor Swift debate happening on the set, but the only person on love is the chick on the program.
Can I ask a question? So there's this
Taylor Swift trans, like she just defies all everything.
Transcends,
she's the best.
That's what
yeah.
you wanted to say. Yep. It's
so there's this photo that's been going around.
Okay.
And people have been using it in so many different ways that I don't even understand what the photo is representing when they use it.
This is one of those, I'm too afraid to ask the question, but
no,
I want to
ask
the question.
Okay,
all right.
It's the Kevin James photo, judgment. King of Queens.
Oh, I don't get it. I don't get it either.
Okay, so we're not alone.
No.
I'm not alone.
No,
okay.
I mean, I get his expression on his face, but why did it suddenly become a thing?
I don't know where it came from. Like, I know the photo's old, right? I mean, King of Queens, great show.
So
why did it become a
thing? We don't know who started this trend right now.
And I don't, like, I just feel like people will just be like, just had breakfast, let me post the photo of Kevin James with it. Or like, wow, I'm so happy that I started, you know, Puka Nacua again this week. Photo of Kevin James. Like, I don't understand the application of it. I say that because I opened up my Twitter page and someone once again tweeted it, and I don't understand what it is. And if Daniel and I are the only two people, and maybe Stefania, that don't get it, maybe the joke is on us, but I wanted to come clean because I am laughing at your tweets, but I'm not sure
don't
I entirely
totally
understand them. And I'm okay with that. And if I'm not alone, please tweet at me. You can tweet me the photo as well to make me feel like I'm not alone.
That feeling when Field Yates tries explaining why he doesn't understand the photo, and it's a photo of Kevin Chase underneath it. That's what it is
right there. Okay, I'm in for that.
That is the tweet, and it's coming.
I'm so confused by it.
I wish I had.
That's so good. All right, let's talk about the waiver wire. We got to pick up some guys for our fantasy lineup.
Yeah, we do.
Field, there was one running back that dominated week three. Can I expect 51 points from Devon Achane in my lineup in week four?
I would not expect 51 points, Daniel. Maybe 50 or maybe 49.
Maybe 49. We're not expecting that.
We are not. This is one of those where, so in my early running back ranks for week four, I have him as like RB 27, I believe. This is one of those where you have to add Devon Achane.
Can't not.
Because if you look at all the players available on your waiver wire, how many of them are more talented or playing an offense that's more explosive than Devon Achane? The answer is very, very, very few of them. He should be added just based off the upside alone. There are some potential mitigating factors, though. Much more difficult matchup this week. The fact that the Dolphins are committed. Yep, they're playing the Bills in week four. Certainly, it's been the Raheem Mostert show through the first three games. He is the highest scoring running back in fantasy. They're not going to remove him from the lineup entirely. Jeff Wilson Jr. can return as soon as week five. And Mike McDaniel is a proponent of you do not lose your job due to injury. Now, could that change? Of course. You know, actions speak louder than words, as they say. But I don't believe, and I could be wrong here, that Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to come back and be a total zero for this Dolphins offense. So it's possible that by next week, it's back to a three-man committee, or maybe at some point a little bit further down the line. What I'm trying to say is that while Devon Achane should be added in every single league, I can't precisely pinpoint what his weekly value is going to be going forward.
Correct. I'm with you on that. But you're not trying to add him for weekly value this week. When you're talking about adding guys to the end of your bench, you want to have depth. You want to have upside. I said this last week. Raheem Mostert, 31-year-old running back. We love Raheem Mostert. Has an injury history. Jeff Wilson has an injury history. We watched Devon Achane. And by the way, we found out it was Devon Achane in case you didn't listen to the show yesterday.
Achane, not Achane.
We did. It was not Achane. So I look at this guy. He absolutely needs to be rostered. But I'm with you, Field. This is not one of those situations where you roster him and then all of a sudden throw him right into your starting lineup. You're grabbing the kid because of talent and potential opportunity down the line.
I tried to tell you what he looked like.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and he, it was funny because he caught a touchdown pass in those joint practices with Atlanta. It was Skylar.
Only one of them?
What a
scrub.
But I think what you saw in that little microcosm of a moment was everything that you saw this week. But a couple things to your points about how Mike McDaniels uses these running backs. Number one, Mike McDaniels came from San Francisco. He brought two running backs from San Francisco and Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson. He also knows from San Francisco how running backs get injured and how much you need that depth. So it is critical to him to have these guys who can rotate in. And yes, you have this running back by committee potential when you have all three that are healthy in there, but that also has the potential to not last for very long in this offense. Yeah. So
I will say this, because you know, a lot of people have been like, well, you know, as I was talking about after the draft, as I was talking about during preseason, or talking about, like, you know, the pre-draft process, this guy can fly. Agree. He can fly. Yes. Like, that part was known. He was a healthy scratch in week one, and he played six snaps in week two. So, like, as a fantasy analyst, I don't know that anybody should be feeling bad about not having had more optimism about Achane as soon as week three. And I also think that I don't have a great grip about what it's going to look like going forward. Right? That's the point.
I mean, that wasn't me. I wasn't trying to make anyone feel bad. I was just saying that you saw the potential of him. And by the way, I did draft
him. You saw the potential.
I put him on my bench, and he was on my bench for those 51.3 fantasy points for that exact reason, that you didn't know when this was going to happen.
Right.
But you see the potential in a player. And sometimes, what do we talk about all the time? You're throwing darts to try and find guys who have the potential to explode during the season.
Yep.
You miss on some. You hit on some.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hit on them and they're still on your bench because you didn't know that they were going to hit. But I think what it lets you know is they're not afraid to use him. And there might be scenarios where if you're looking for a flex player with incredible upside because he just might go off in a game. Mm-hmm. He's a player to have.
Do you guys see this, that there have been, so Next Gen Stats tracks the speed of ball carriers.
Oh, yeah. Play. I can tell you who
love
they
this
all
tweet.
Are.
Yeah. Yep. The top six tweet. This season
okay.
are all Miami Dolphins. Tyreek Hill in week 3, Devon Achane in week 3, Tyreek Hill in week 1, Raheem Mostert in week 2, Tyreek Hill in week 1, Devon Achane in week 3.
You realize that they keep note of this down there. Like, these guys actively wager with each other on their speed. Last year it was a thing when they were having contests to see between Raheem Mostert and Tyreek Hill because they were like the two fastest guys in the league. And they actually document all this. They keep tabs on each other. Like, this is how they motivate each other. Everything's predicated on speed down there.
I'm starting to think Mike McDaniel just plays Madden and then constructs the Dolphins the way that he would a Madden roster. Because yeah. right now, all you want is speed, and he's got nothing but speed on that roster.
Really
it
does.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what, Field? Speaking of another guy that has speed, let's talk. Move this to another running back. Yeah. Matt Breida in place of Saquon Barkley. Another guy that you could look at in case Devon Achane was not available for you on waivers.
Scored over 11 fantasy points and was clearly the go-to back early for the Giants in their game last Thursday against the 49ers. They don't play till Monday night against the Seahawks, so it's a good plan to have him, especially if you have Saquon Barkley, because that would give you the chance to pivot. But like, this is a solid football player, good receiver, good opportunity here that if Saquon's out again, I'll have Breida as like RB25, maybe RB30.
Okay.
Not a must start, but you could do way worse, especially in a year in which we've seen so many bad injuries and bad performances.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about some of these wide receivers. This is where it gets fun again.
Yeah, it does.
Tank Dell, again, came out of nowhere. No, I don't even want to say out of nowhere. We saw Tank Dell in the preseason. He looked good. We saw Tank Dell in week 2.
Yep.
I think now we're starting to be at the point where CJ Stroud is going to continue to sling it for this Texans offense, and that means we want to look at these young, exciting pass catchers.
Totally.
Tank Dell needs to be added.
He should. He's been an excellent player for them so far. A great find in the 3rd round. Played his college ball at Houston, and he now plays for the Houston Texans.
I love that.
What's been cool about Tank Dell is that not only can he do damage as a route runner in the short and intermediate game because he's so damn shifty, but he's had big plays down the field as well. He had that long touchdown, I believe it was a 71-yarder, great scheme and design on that play to get him wide open. But also, CJ Stroud just dropped one in the bucket down the field on a 51-yard play. Yeah, I mean,
nice.
We're not going to have any definitive answers on that rookie quarterback class, but what
while.
I said yesterday, we do know this kid can play, right? Yeah. Like, CJ Stroud is just a pure pocket passer, baby. It is beautiful to see the work that he has done so far. So this could sustain, right? They're going to have to throw the ball a lot because they can't run the ball at all. And Tank Dell, he and Nico Collins are both real players for this Texans offense.
Absolutely, they are. I love adding both of them, and they should be rostered in every league. Another wide receiver, I think, that needs to be rostered in more leagues, Field.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is that unsexy veteran guy that you're just not able to feel super excited about. But I'll tell you what, he's going to keep producing in this Panthers offense. He, to me, is the wide receiver one here. Sometimes you just need an old man to carry your squad. Adam Thielen can be my old man.
Yeah, he can help you out, that's for sure, because he is clearly the wide receiver one of this offense, as you just said. Revenge game this week as well. Adam Thielen
Minnesota
plays the Vikings.
Vikings.
That's right. So a chance for him to exact some revenge on the team that unceremoniously, actually it was very ceremonious.
Very smart.
They were very kind and thoughtful and gracious with the release of Adam Thielen. But yeah, this is about a volume play, and it's not going to be about a ton of big plays down the field for Adam Thielen, but just a, you know, good, solid veteran football player. As we get to this point of the season and depth has already been thinned, and we're a week away from the start of byes in the NFL. Seattle, I know, is on a bye next week. I think Pittsburgh on a bye next week. Maybe Pittsburgh's week 6, as Stefania mentioned earlier. But yes, the point is that Adam Thielen should be rostered in many more leagues because of the volume there. And this Carolina offense does not have a lot of answers right now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like one of their best answers, though, is find Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, his first game, he only had 2 catches. Then, and he was coming off an ankle injury himself, so we didn't know. DJ Chark's been injured. Bryce Young didn't play. Bryce Young comes back this week, potentially. I'm just curious to see if it looks the same. The Andy Dalton, Adam Thielen connection was real.
Veteran-to-veteran connection.
Yeah, and I felt like he trusted. And TJ Chark, who wasn't healthy, is now getting healthier. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, Chark, another wide receiver.
I don't know that I trust Adam Thielen yet myself. I think he's valuable to have. I just don't know that I trust him in my lineup.
Wide receiver is a really, really deep position. This is one of the things that's tough about it, because I feel like we could put in 25 different flex plays at wide receiver. And like, this is just where we're at in a passing league. There are so many opportunities. So I do like Adam Thielen, someone that should be added. You did mention DJ Chark as well. Stefania got in the end zone last week, another wide receiver that you could potentially look at if you need a little bit of help at the wide receiver position. And I want to mention Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta only available in 35% of leagues, but guess what? This dude is tight end two on the season. So available in 35% of leagues means you need to go out and see if you're one of the 35%, because with the dearth at the tight end position.
Nice use of dearth, right?
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Sam Laporta needs to be rostered. He is a basic must start at this point with how bad tight end has been.
I love that. Yeah,
but I actually think it might be more than that, Daniel.
More than that?
Yeah, like I'm going to give you guys Lions credit. Meaning like he's basically a must start because of how bad tight ends are. No, I think he's just a must start. Like, I think he's just like a legit part of an offense that right now is a little thin at wide receiver, and he's a good football player. They're crafting stuff for him. I don't think the reason why we're talking about Sam Laporta is because of the struggles of other players only. I think it's because Laporta is the real deal. You and I play in a league of Michigan men and Detroit Lions fans, so we talk often about this team, and I remember sort of being like, when the draft took place, understanding that like it's not exactly maximizing positional value by drafting a running back and a linebacker. When you take a big step back from it, we did feel like, hey, this could be a draft class that will help this team in a hurry. And Laporta is a part of that draft class that has really helped this team in a hurry. And he looks like he's the real deal. I mean, Iowa's got a very strong track record of tight ends in the NFL.
Yes, they do.
Looks like they have found the next great Iowa tight end.
That's right. Hey, shout out to my buddy Kurt
Dallas Clark. You're thinking George Kittle. Certainly,
yeah, he looks good,
but it goes even further back.
Yeah,
than Mr.
I know he was, but he started the tight end holiday, so you know.
Oh, that works too. Yeah,
he's the tight end premier day. Yeah, that national works. Tight end day. So
we love George Kittle.
In that Michigan men chat, my buddy Kurt Vandermass made it very clear. He said, Daniel, you will be talking about Sam Laporta by week 3, I promise. He said that before the start of the season. We are talking about Sam Laporta. So
is Kurt available Monday through Friday?
Yeah, to come and do the show with us.
By chance? Go to Vegas. Yes.
All right, let's talk about a couple more guys that we could potentially grab and start or stash for our lineups
here. Let's do it.
I'm going to start with Zach Charbonnet.
Yes.
Available in more than 60% of leagues.
Grab him, stash him.
He's a stash, probably not an add and start, though, with the way that he's getting used right now.
No, not yet. I mean, he's clearly the backup. But his snap share has gone up every single week, and he's second round pick. This kid can play. Yeah. I would be adding Zach Charbonnet, one of the most valuable insurance policies in the entire NFL. I don't want this to happen, but if something happened to Kenneth Walker III, Zach Charbonnet could be this year's version of Kenneth Walker
III. How many backup running backs have we watched get fantasy value over the first 3 weeks of the season? And I hate to say that, but with that being the case,
fact,
it's just like, why is Charbonnet not rostered in more? If anything happens to Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet would be top 15 running back.
Yeah, my thought is on that is that like at the beginning of your fantasy season, there are players that you go into the season expecting to have a fantasy role, and you don't know how long you have to wait before you drop them. So there are probably players that are on rosters right now that really don't have, like I was looking through the most added and dropped players.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that like Juju Smith-Schuster was on like 54% of rosters. There's no need for that, right? Nope. Like Zach Charbonnet needs to be rostered more than Juju Smith-Schuster does. But coming into the season, certainly one player has much more of a track record in the NFL, and the idea that Juju could be the Patriots' number one wide receiver, maybe that could lead to some value. No. So I think we're still kind of sort of clearing the decks with players that fit into that Juju Smith-Schuster category. Darnell Mooney, Juju Smith-Schuster, players like that that don't really have much value right now in fantasy that are still on many more rosters because they were on a high percentage coming into the season.
Kadarius Toney.
Another example. Every Chiefs receiver.
All Chiefs receivers right now. Sounds honestly, we can have that conversation. Yeah. All right, what about Romeo Dobbs, Field? I know we've had some back and forth about this Packers wide receiving core with the way that Jordan Love has looked through the first couple of games, but does Dobbs at least deserve to be rostered, or do you think that he's not getting enough run for that?
I think this is one where we're very, very close to the borderline, because if Christian Watson plays on Thursday night, I don't think three Packers receivers are going to matter, especially with Luke Musgrave playing a real role. And so I think that if there are two out of three that matter, assuming they're all healthy, it's Christian Watson and Jaden Reed.
Yep.
And that's where you're at.
So, like, if we get news today that Christian Watson was listed as DNP for the Packers, Stefania's early report suggests that would be extremely unlikely.
Sure.
Then I would consider it, but I don't think that Romeo Dobbs is a must add and stash.
What about Calvin Austin? We talked about Allen Robinson, maybe, but you don't think so?
He's a good player, but I just, in the Steelers offense right now, there's one wide receiver that really matters. That's George Pickens until Deontay returns. Stefania said that'll be in week 7 at the earliest. So you've got Calvin Austin. Are you starting him this week?
I'm probably not going to start him. The question is, is he worth stashing? Because there might be more.
Because if you're stashing him, it's like, hey, at some point down the line, well, what if Deontay's back and all of a sudden you have George Pickens and Deontay Johnson for a kind of floundering offense so far? They're 2-1 because of Mike Tomlin, but they just do this. But I would not be stashing him.
Yep. All right, then I think we're at the point where we're going to start to get some of these guys. Joshua Palmer or Quentin Johnston, obviously. Without Mike Williams. Which one of these would you prioritize over the other, Field?
If it's for a stash, I'm going to go with Quentin Johnston.
If it's to start?
If it's right now, you need some immediate help, it's Josh Palmer.
Yep.
I think Palmer will continue to play a big role, and obviously I'm biased towards Palmer because of his name. Yep. But Quentin Johnston, and maybe I'm wrong here, but like, just that would be a miscalculation of resources if you used a first round pick on Quentin Johnston and couldn't get a lot out of him in the circumstances that they are currently in without Mike Williams for the rest of the season, right? That you don't draft the guy 23rd or 24th overall if he can't play when there is an obvious hole in need for him.
Arthur Smith does, but this may be a different conversation.
Yeah, well, but this team, and this is the case with Minnesota with KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison, has a clear pecking order amongst their wide receivers. Number one, Keenan Allen. It was Mike Williams. It's been Joshua Palmer, as we talked about with Mike on Monday. During the game, once Mike Williams got hurt, Palmer remained in the role that he had been, and he played more than Quentin Johnston. Now that you have a week to work through it and decide what you want to do, does that change? I think Quentin Johnston is the better add and stash, because if I'm adding and stashing a player, it's not just the role, it's the talent, and Johnston has more talent than Joshua Palmer.
Last year, Joshua Palmer, 72 receptions. And I know it didn't feel, we were expecting more, we wanted more like from him.
I'll open this up.
He's not a scrub.
He's not a scrub at all. He's a third round pick. He was a good player. But I remember those being like kind of saturated in terms of when they took place. Let me pull this up. I'll do this on the fly. You guys can keep talking here. But like, if you go back and look at those 72, there was a stretch where he went 9, 8, 3, 8, 5, 7. And then down the stretch, 4, 5, 2, 0, 4. Yeah. Right? So it feels like a lot of the meat on that bone was in the middle of that, like that 6-game stretch right there.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. Because I do like Joshua Palmer. He's a guy, one of these two guys is going to step up, you hope, within this offense. Although once they get Austin Ekeler back, maybe there's a little more pass game where it goes to there as well. So let's talk about Elijah Moore. I feel like within this Browns offense last week, we talked about it. The Deshaun Watson that we were hoping at least a little bit to see in a Browns uniform, you got to see that. I think Elijah Moore absolutely should be rostered in fantasy leagues as well.
Adam.
Easy.
Totally. Yeah, I thought I was really surprised at his low utilization the first couple of weeks, because everything
that
we saw, and it was real. I mean, if you watched and what they were doing, he was a favored target of his. So I think last week was what I expect more of going forward.
So here's the thing that wasn't great through the first 2 weeks. Okay. 3 catches for 43 yards. 3 catches for 36 yards, and then last week, 9, but only for 49. I understand that doesn't feel super big, but here's what you want to hang your head on. 7 targets week 1, 9 targets week 2.
Because the performance was so bad by the quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he is getting that volume, and half the time, we've talked about this. We just keep coming back to this. Right now, you want volume. You're looking for volume. Guys that are going to be utilized by this offense, taking on the Baltimore Ravens next week, so that's going to be a fun matchup to be able to watch. I feel like these Browns-Ravens games are just always fun because of that interdivisional kind of shootout. All right. I think that's a pretty... Oh, we got a couple more guys. So sorry.
Stop or drop.
We're going to do streams of the week. Yeah, we're going to do streams of the week.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's talk at CJ Stroud. Do you think CJ Stroud you could use him as a weekly streamer with the way that he started each of the first 3 weeks?
He is as impressive as all, as I just said earlier. But he's right there on the fringe.
Let's do this. Let me ask you this question real quick. Okay. If I'm asking you this...
Yep.
Part of this is taking into account, let's say we're playing in a 10-team league. Mm-hmm. At least the top 10 quarterbacks are rostered. Correct. We've talked about how a lot more people...
I have Derek Carr. He's hurt. Do I pick up CJ Stroud?
That's a great question.
You have Derek Carr?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how big is the league?
Ideally, you weren't starting Derek Carr in a 10-team league. But no, yeah, no, in a 16-team no. league. Well,
16-team league.
He definitely... CJ Stroud absolutely needs to be added. 16-team
league, then yes. For like 10 or 12-team leagues, does not need to be added. No. But impressive.
So.
He could be. He certainly has been impressive. I think that just sort of doing this off the top of my head, right?
Let's say you've got Justin Fields in your roster.
That's fine, but you might get to 10 or 11 or 12 before you get to CJ Stroud is what I'm trying to say, right? Between I'm looking at the games in order. Here are the players that, like, I will be starting these players over CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Josh Allen. Tua Tagovailoa. Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow against the Titans. Really close. Anthony Richardson, assuming he plays. Jalen Hurts. Kirk Cousins. Justin Herbert.
What about Russell Wilson?
Patrick Mahomes. Russell Wilson against the Bears is close. You know, like it's fringy is what I would say.
Okay.
He's on the fringe. Yeah. Like,
well, that's part of what a streamer is. Debate.
Yeah. He's a streamer. Yeah. Yes. Circumstantially, there might be some opportunity for CJ Stroud, and he has been way too impressive to not give the man his props.
In 10 team league, I mean, not everyone, but I play in a couple 12 team leagues. People have backup quarterbacks. So,
absolutely.
You know, sure. Even though he might not be right where you'd want to take someone, if you've got somebody who's hurt, he might be the best of the available options to stream.
That's what I was sort of starting with. Like, if we're in a 10-team league, at least the first 10 are rostered, and then you're going to assume the next 5 or 6 quarterbacks are also probably on a team. Mm-hmm. So CJ Stroud would probably be the number one guy that you would add.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I have Justin Fields and Joe Burrow in multiple fantasy leagues. I'm at least considering starting CJ Stroud over him. You can tell me that is a bad decision, but I am an emotional fantasy football player, and there is a part of me that doesn't want to continue to see Justin Fields go out there and poop the bed the way that he has over the first 3 weeks. So for me, when I see this kid, CJ Stroud looks great. I got no problems if you want to be able to use him as a streamer. Doesn't need to be rostered, but absolutely someone you could use here in week 4 if you had a matchup that you were looking to be able to upgrade.
Yep.
What about Andy Dalton against Minnesota?
If he plays.
If Andy Dalton plays.
I mean, it's a great opportunity in a matchup, but I would rank, so let's just go through the third streamer as well. I'll just lump them all together,
all right?
CJ Stroud, Andy Dalton, Jordan Love. It would be Jordan Love, CJ Stroud, Andy Dalton for me in that order.
Jordan Love against the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I know, and we'll see whether Christian Watson plays or not, and I know I've been talking about how there's some mirage factor here to Jordan Love, but he's the only one of these three that I feel confident has the chance to impact the game with his legs as well. He had 9 rushes this past week for 39 yards and a touchdown. That's probably about as far. Like, with CJ Stroud, the Steelers do make me nervous because that Texans offensive line is such a disaster right now. Like, I fear that the first interception could take place this week for CJ Stroud because the Texans have been so decimated by injuries. TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith are going to feast on Sunday.
Yeah.
Feast.
He's been throwing the ball a lot too. I'm actually surprised he has not thrown his first pick.
Yeah. He's been so impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for the streams of the week. Stefania Field, thank you so much for hanging out with me on a Tuesday. This was a ton of fun. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We will be back tomorrow, Wednesday, breaking down a bunch of the week 4 rankings. Me, Field, and Mike Clay. Don't forget to love each other. We love you guys so much. Be kind to yourself, and we cannot wait to see you tomorrow. Don't forget to get your waivers in.
Shout out Kevin James. People already tweeting me, so I respect that.
That's why I love it. Kevin James, we love you, man. Would love to have you come on the show. See ya.
He definitely listens. Right? Yeah.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.